Hello, friends. Please join me in prayer. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word and also do it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. When it comes right down to it, what is it that matters most in life? When the chips are down, when the going gets tough, when the storm hits and the foundations of our lives begin to shake, when we end up staring death in the face and the green line on the heart monitor begins to go flat, to what or to whom do we turn for comfort and hope? In one of the greatest statements of faith ever penned, we have this answer given in question-answer form. Question: what is your only comfort in life and in death? Answer: that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. What a magnificent statement of faith. If ever there was a passage outside of Scripture to study and to memorize, it's this one. These words come from the Heidelberg Catechism, one of the great statements of faith coming out of our own Reformed theological tradition. Now, don't let the word catechism scare you. A catechism is simply a teaching tool that summarizes the bedrock truths of our faith and does so in question-answer form that makes it all easier to remember. And as you can guess, the Heidelberg Catechism came out of Germany over 450 years ago, but it still speaks with power today. It's thoroughly based on Scripture. In fact, I encourage you to check out the Heidelberg Catechism and use it for your own devotions. And honestly, if we take its words to heart, it will dramatically change our life. In fact, the first line really says it all. To know and to experience ultimate comfort in this crazy and often fearful life is to believe with all our heart this crucial truth. I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. If you and I belong to Jesus Christ, if we have made a commitment of our lives to him as Lord and Savior in faith and trust, then we no longer belong to ourselves. We are no longer under the lordship of our own ego, figuring out how to construct our own lives, finding our own meaning, relying upon our own resources, attempting to save ourselves. We are no longer our own, but Christ's. We belong to him body and soul, and we're now under his lordship and protective care. The Apostle Paul says as much when he writes to the Romans, whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. And he reminds the Corinthians, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. That is the price of Christ's own blood. One of my favorite stories is that of a little boy who built a sailboat out of wood. And he really put his time and effort into making it. It took him weeks to do it. And was he ever proud of it when it was finished? The boy lived in New York City and took his little boat to the lake in Central Park and put it in the water. All of a sudden, a gust of wind caught the sails and the boy let go of the string. And the boy ran as fast as he could to the other side of the lake, trying to keep his eyes on it. He reached the other side only to discover that thieves beat him to it. They made off with it. And naturally, the boy was terribly upset and erupted in tears. Well, on his way home, he went by a pawn shop. And lo and behold, the owner was just placing the boat in the window. Thieves had brought it in for easy cash. So the boy went into the shop and said to the man, hey, that boat in the window is my boat. And the owner said, I hear lots of stories. I'm sorry, but I paid for that boat, and now you'll have to pay me $5. So the boy went home, took every penny from his piggy bank, went into the shop, and bought it. And as he walked out, he was heard to say, Little boat, you belong to me for two reasons. I made you, and I bought you. Our Lord says the same to you and to me. You belong to me for two reasons. I made you, and I bought you. I redeemed you from sin and death at the cost of my own blood. It cost me everything. You are mine. Knowing that we belong to Christ is a tremendous comfort in life. If we know we truly belong to Him, if we are His own, we can be sure that no matter what frightening thing might come along in life, He isn't going to allow us to perish. If it's true that He made us, if it's true that He died for us, and that His love for us doesn't end, then He certainly isn't going to allow us to fall into the pit of destruction or disappear into the everlasting void. The Catechism reminds us, He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. If that's the case, what do you and I have to fear? I love that beautiful passage in the book of Isaiah. The words refer to the people of Israel, but they can also apply to us, for we too are God's people. Fear not, says the Lord, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Shortly before Jesus died on the cross, Jesus said of those who belonged to Him, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Since I belong to Christ, then nothing, not my worries, my pains, my fears, my sense of loneliness or depression, not the worst catastrophe that can happen to me, not death itself, can snatch me away from Christ and separate me from His great love. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. No matter what may befall us, no matter what we're dealing with, underneath us are His everlasting arms. If then we face the frightening prospect of major surgery or receive a scary diagnosis from the doctor, we can say to ourselves, I belong to Christ. If our lives seem to be coming apart at the seams, if our finances are a mess, if our marriage is in ruins, if everything seems to be going wrong, we can say, I belong to Christ. I am in His hands, and nothing shall ultimately harm me. For years, I was a community chaplain at Providence Everett Medical Center. One day, I was called to visit a patient who had just received terrible news of a malignant tumor on her lung. She wanted to talk to a chaplain. So I walked in the room not knowing what to expect, and her family was all around, and there were tears to be sure. But she said, Chaplain, we're Christians. We are people of faith. And by golly, with God at our side, we're going to get through this together. It will be all right. I know I'm in God's hands. I belong to Jesus, and He will take care of me. Chaplain, could you lead us in prayer? Here I thought I was there to bring them some measure of comfort, but the Lord had already comforted them, and that family ministered to me as they exercised their faith in a crisis time. You could sense that they possessed a peace and a sense of security that they would not otherwise have had at a moment like that, because they knew they all belonged to Jesus. What a comfort to know to whom we truly belong. Our only comfort in life and in death is that you and I belong body and soul in life and in death to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. To know that we belong to Him and to believe it with all our heart is to receive comfort in the frightening situations of life. Then too, knowing that we belong to Christ is also a source of comfort in the tempting situations of life. The tempter is always laying traps for us to get us to do wrong, to cause us to make the wrong moral choices in life. And if we forget who we are and to whom we belong, it's easy to be led astray to our own unhappiness and ruin. After Jesus was baptized, he was sent into the wilderness where he felt the full force of temptation. Remembering his own baptism and knowing that he belonged to God as God's own son must surely have reinforced his resolve to resist Satan's power. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church of the dangers of giving in to temptation. Corinth at that time was Sin City, if there ever was one. It was known for its sexual promiscuity. Sexual lures were everywhere. Prostitution was institutionalized. Some of the Christians were even trying to justify immoral behavior by saying to themselves that since their souls were saved by Jesus, it didn't really matter what they did with their body. So Paul had to put a stop to this notion, reminding them that their body, as well as their souls, belong to God. What? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. That's a good reminder for us all in those situations when we're tempted to compromise our Christian values. And it goes beyond sexual temptations, of course, so that when we are tempted to cheat or to act dishonestly, we can say to ourselves, I belong to Christ. I maintain our integrity despite the pressures to do otherwise. When we are tempted to pass on a juicy bit of gossip, we can say, I belong to Christ, and protect another person's reputation. When we are tempted to go against our better judgment and sin against another in word or deed, we can say, I belong to Christ, and do the right and loving thing instead. When kids at school are tempted by members of their peer group to partake of drugs, they can say to themselves, I belong to Christ, and find a new group to hang around with. In other words, in the tempting situations of life, we can and ought to remind ourselves who we are, that we are children of God, and that we were bought or redeemed at great price, namely the price of our Savior's blood, and that therefore to be in Christ is necessarily, to use Paul's words, to shun immorality. As the Heidelberg Catechism puts it, Christ has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. We are free to live a new life and to leave the old sinful ways behind. Whenever Martin Luther was tempted to do wrong, he would put his hand over his head and he would say to himself, I am a baptized Christian. I am the Lord's. And invariably, he said, the devil would flee. To know that you and I are not our own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, is to receive comfort in the frightening situations of life. It's to receive comfort in the tempting situations of life. And knowing that we belong to Jesus, body and soul, is to have comfort in dealing with the existential issues of life. For in Him, we find life's true meaning and purpose. It's comforting knowing what we're here for, what we've been called to do, and where we are headed. Because we belong to Him, you and I are called now to live for Him, not for ourselves. Listen again to the words of the Catechism. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. To live for Him is to follow His teachings and to do as Christ did. It's to have our goals and desires reoriented and reshaped so that it reflects His goals and desires for us. To live for Him is to live as His true follower in the world, proclaiming His love in word and deed. It's to give ourselves entirely over to Him in faith, body and soul, lock, stock and barrel, so that He can have His way with us. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, knowing to whom he belonged and full of the Holy Spirit, expressed his resolve to live for Christ in a prayer that I have had posted in my office for years, and I think I've shared with you before. His prayer goes like this. I am no longer mine, but yours. Put me to what you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O blessed and glorious Lord, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. May that be our prayer. Amen.